Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, January 17th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page XXIX, the second paragraph, Men Have Cried Out to Me, through two paragraphs ending with To the Ordinary Psychological Approach. I will be commenting on those two paragraphs only. Today's readers are Ellen D. reading the 12 steps, Reggie O. reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of the text are Donna W., Leslie W., and Gina R. The share ID for Wednesday, January 16th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 12,428, 12428. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 12,432. That's 12432. Our newcomer greeter for today is Leslie M. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Ellen D. to read the 12 steps.
Ellen D. in Texas recovered for today. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do so.
And thank you, Ellen D. Reggie O., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for your service. These are the 12 traditions. This is Reggie O. in the greater Los Angeles area. And 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you.
And thank you, Reggio. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page XXIX, the second paragraph, beginning with Men Have Cried Out to Me. We'll be reading through two paragraphs, ending to the ordinary psychological approach, and we'll be commenting on those two paragraphs. And good morning, Donna. Can you get us started, please?
Good morning. This is Donna W. calling from Palo Alto, California. We're grateful to be abstinent and recovered for today. Excuse me. Men have cried out to me in sincere and despairing appeal. Doctor, I cannot go on like this. I have everything to live for. I must stop, but I cannot. You must help me. Faced with this problem, if a doctor is honest with himself, he must sometimes feel his own inadequacy. Although he gives all that is in him, it often is not enough. One feels that something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. Though the aggregate of recoveries resulting from psychiatric effort is considerable, we physicians must admit we have made little impression upon that problem as a whole. Many types do not respond to the ordinary psychological approach. Well, let's see, there's quite a few musts here. You must help me, I must stop, and we must admit. And so, you know, this is telling me, like, I must stop, you must help me. I'm relying on self, and I'm relying on humans. I find it really interesting here that Dr. Silkworth talks in the third person. So he's saying if a doctor is honest with himself, and I wonder what this, you know, all of the doctor's opinion, what it would look like if he said, you know, if I'm honest with myself, I feel inadequate. And although I give all that's in me, it's not enough. And I learned in the call last week that maybe the most important admission of powerlessness was Dr. Silkworth. And he's just admitting so much humility here. And although he was the number one doctor for alcoholics at the time, he's saying that, you know, it's not reliance on human that's the answer.
Yeah, well, you're such a big blubbering cunt up.
And, I know for myself that most of my life, and I still have the tendency, I'm looking for that perfect formula.
Shut the fuck up, ma'am.
That perfect therapist, the perfect sponsor, the perfect food plan that will just fix me, and then I'll be fine.
Ma'am, and, shut up!
Kathleen, can you mute that?
I think that'll get fixed in the background, Donna. Just keep going. Thank you so much. Sorry.
Okay. So, you know, I still have that tendency of, like, looking for something, reliance on something that's going to fix me. And, you know,
ma'am,
for years, a specific diet. I'm really grateful that a therapist did bring me into the rooms. She introduced me to OA and suggested I come, but she didn't fix me. You know, half of my life I kept thinking if I could just figure myself out, then I'll stop eating. And so then, you know, back to Dr. Silkworth, he and Dr. Young knew that a psychic change was needed, and they knew that they couldn't make that change happen. And Dr. Silkworth saw Bill had a psychic change, that, you know, Bill went from self-centered to altruistic. And so, you know, maybe Bill's change helped Dr. Silkworth see that that reliance was something greater. You know, the page before it says our ideals must be grounded in a power greater than ourselves. So, you know, what I'm learning, I learn so much every day on these calls. And what I heard earlier this week is that, you know, my disease is not the food. The food is the solution. My disease is that I'm restless, irritable, and discontented. So, you know, reliance on other people, other people can't solve that restlessness, irritability, and discontentment. So I must rely on something greater than myself, which is a higher power. And, you know, I'm doing my best. I'm really learning to pause throughout the day. And it's not just asking for help with the food. It's really with my whole life, because that's my problem. My whole life is my problem. And, you know, I must put down the alcoholic foods, and then I need to work this program in all my affairs and welcome higher power into every crevice of my being so that I can be of maximum service to God and those around me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Donna W., especially for your patience through that. Okay. We are going to take some names. Let me just tell you where we're at again. We're on page XXIX, second paragraph. Men have cried out to me through two paragraphs ending with to the ordinary psychological approach, commenting on both those paragraphs. And who would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Terry C.
Christina O.
Lisa J. R.
Christina O.
Okay, I got Christina O. and Carrie C. There was someone between them.
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB.
Lisa J.R.
Bruce E.
Robin P.
And Robin P. Okay, let's stop there. So I have Carrie C., Sherry KB, Christina O., Lisa J.R., Bruce E., and Robin P. So go ahead, Carrie.
Hi, this is Terry C. Terry with a T.
Oh, with a T. Thank you, Terry.
Sure. This is Terry C., recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey, and I'm very grateful. Thanks, everybody, for the service for this 10 o'clock meeting, because I'm on fire about this paragraph. It's my favorite paragraph in the doctor's opinion. I didn't get to share this morning, so I had to dial in to share why. When I read this, I'm just riveted, as the previous sharer said, the humility that, you know, and then it really comes back to the spiritual principle of admission and honesty. You know, and here was this doctor understanding the despair, the hopelessness of this disease. He understood it. He could see it, but that's about as far as it went. You know, he understood it, but he couldn't empathize, and he sure as heck couldn't fix it. And, you know, when I read, faced with this problem, if he's honest with himself, you know, the honesty that pervades this program that helps us all access God, because later on he says something greater than human power. Page 60 tells us, no human power. I can't relieve my own affliction any more than I can relieve my family members who have afflictions. I can't do that. Something more than human power. And it's just, you know, right in the doctor's opinion, we read in the first paragraph, convincing testimony. What does it convince me of? It convinces me of the spiritual solution. The spiritual solution, you know, I often hear in one of my meetings that abstinence is not spirituality. Abstinence is a byproduct of spirituality. And we have to remain abstinent to really understand what this book has to offer, but then we just get it because God wants us to be purposeful, useful people, and we can only be that when we admit our powerlessness and we take action to do something about it. So I thank you for, I'm so grateful that we're on this paragraph and I got to share, because if anyone calls me and asks me to share on the doctor's opinion, I usually go right to this paragraph. And just recognizing that Dr. Silkworth just affirmed that God is the answer. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie T. So Sherry KB, you're up next, followed by Christina O.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Good morning, everybody at Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful and dry, hopefully recovered compulsive overeater. It's pouring down here. And thank you so much for your service, Kathleen, and everybody on the line, and I appreciate the shares very much. You know, I very much like these paragraphs, too, because to me, here's a doctor admitting that he can't help me, and that he's talking about his own inadequacies, and what it tells me is that if a doctor can't help me, what makes me think I can help myself? You know, if a doctor can't, what makes me think I can? I think that's amazing to me, that thought, because, you know, I know that I have tried. I have tried so much on willpower alone and self-reliance, and it's failed me every time. Every time it has failed me. I can't tell you how many therapy appointments I have done thinking that if I solved all my problems, then I could, you know, take care of the weight. If I figured out everything in my life, then I know that I could take care of my weight. And that has never happened, because it even says down here that many types do not respond to the ordinary psychological approach. And it's talking about therapy. So not that therapy isn't good. It's just that it won't solve my problem. My food addiction, only God can in these steps. That's what I know. And it says, having a result of, you know, as a result of the steps, that's why I have a spiritual awakening. So I know, you know, my ego will get in there, which is my disease, and will tell me that I can figure this one out by myself. Thank you very much. And, you know, as it said before, knowledge avails us nothing. And I didn't time myself, Kathleen. Could you tell me how much time I have left? And I just, you know, I just so much. I'm sorry?
About a minute.
Got a minute. Okay, thanks. Anyhow, so I just really am so grateful to know that and to accept it, and that, you know, I can go for therapy, but that's not going to help me with my food disease. And I just want to say one thing. You know, we hear on the line all the time that food is the solution. What I want to say was food was the solution. It's not the solution. You know, only a power greater than myself is the solution. And it is about putting the food down. And it is about asking for help. And it is about, you know, getting connected with a higher power through getting unblocked by working the steps. So food is the solution, was the solution to a problem that was underneath. But for me, a person like me, food is not the solution. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Sherry KB. Christina O, you are up next, followed by Lisa J.R.
Thank you very much. My name's Christina O, and I'm from Massachusetts. And I'm just back 2 days abstinent after a relapse. And I'm compliant in my abstinence and praying, just praying my little heart out for surrender. And going through more about alcoholism and We Agnostics with my sponsor. And I just wanted to claim my seat here at Vision and let everyone know that I'm back and I'm willing to do the work. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Christina O. Welcome back. So Lisa J.R., you're up next, followed by Bruce E.
Good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. here. Grateful to be on the line with you this morning from Baltimore, Maryland. I love, you know, many types do not respond to the ordinary psychological approach. About for the first, I would say, 40 years of this illness, I sought the diets, the calories in, calories out. That was the solution to this malady I suffered from. Then towards the end, when I couldn't make it 5 minutes through a diet, I literally could not make it through noon dieting. I was totally whipped by this disease. I started to turn to the psychological approach. I watched every YouTube video, every shrink that was on YouTube, I saw a therapist. I, you know, sought out books. I'd go to Barnes and Nobles and wait for the next, you know, behavior modification, instant cure to my disease. And I was, it was a tyranny trying to find out what was making me tick, why I had this split personality. I would, to the outside world, white knuckle it through the day or white knuckle it around people at parties. White knuckle it, and then when I'd go home, I would be like a junkyard dog devouring everything like an animal. And I knew how sick I was. And having had this relationship with my higher power from a little wee child, I realized that the true great physician I had all the time, I was looking outward for the solution to my problem, because I felt that it should be some sort of offering I should be able to give my God, when in truth, I was trying to make my own solution, when all I had to do was surrender, throw the white flag up, and ask God into my heart in this area of my life to help me. You know, having gone through this journey with all of you, and you're teaching me every time everyone shares, you know, they're just so beautiful. You guys help encourage me to do that every single day, and I thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Lisa J.R. Bruce E., you're up next, followed by Robin P.
Bruce E., recovered in Florida. Thank you. Thank you, everybody on the line. Men have cried out to me in sincere and despairing appeal. Doctor, I cannot go on like this. I have everything to live for. I must stop, but I cannot. You must help me. Now, just that short sentence there, you must help me. So now, if I said that, wouldn't I be putting it off of myself and not taking responsibility for my own recovery and putting it onto the doctor and putting an undue burden onto him? So first time I went in to see a doctor is years and years ago, and I think I've seen three or four of them, and I got recovered through this program. But anyway, I didn't get recovered that way. But I probably went in there thinking, man, you got to help me. You know, I got this problem. You got to help me. And so there again, you know, I'm just putting it onto somebody else, you know, putting the problem onto somebody else's shoulders, you know, whether I do that with a doctor or anybody else. So I have to come into this, had to come into this program, get honest about what I've been doing. You know, I've been lying. You know, I've been lying about food, lying to myself, lying to other people. And my sponsor said to me, he said, you're not an honest person. You lie. You're not honest. Man, I didn't like hearing that. You know, I had to start facing up to it. And he said, you're playing God. He said, you play God. You got to get out of God's way. And man, I didn't know what. I knew that I probably had been playing God, and I knew that I was in God's way, but I didn't know how to get out of the way. But I think these steps in this book, my sponsor and so forth, help me to be able to do that, you know. It just started happening. I just started getting out of God's way and, you know, started working this thing, and it started working. So, I spent a lot of time in this doctor's opinion, because when I first went through my recovery, before I got recovered, I kept relapsing because I had alcoholic foods in my food plan. I had to get those out of there. So I spent a lot of time in this. Learned it pretty good, I thought. But anyway, that's it for me. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Bruce E. So before we have Robin P. share, just a reminder, we are on page XXIX, second paragraph, Men Have Cried Out to Me, through two paragraphs ending with To the Ordinary Psychological Approach. And after Robin, I'll be taking some more names. So go ahead, please, Robin P.
Thank you. Thanks so much for your service. This is Robin P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And I just, first of all, wanted to thank Donna so much for her wonderful share. And it feels like when the disruptor comes on, it's like the disease. For me, it's like a manifestor of the disease. And what I get to do with that is just a metaphor for me, that I get to just keep going on with my recovery. No matter what the disease voice says, I get to just keep plowing ahead. And when I hear people do that on the lines, it's such a blessing for me. It's such a turning lemons into lemonade for me, because I listen to somebody just persevering past the disease voice and just going on with their recovery message, and it's awesome. So thank you, and God bless you. I very much appreciate you and everyone who does that. And just get to carry on with our recoveries. So faced with the problem, if a doctor is honest with himself, he must sometimes feel his own inadequacy. This man is so humble. God bless him. You know, we've all had experiences with doctors. Some are more humble than others. And God used Dr. Sokwith so mightily, because he picked the right person, you know, to use his gifts for good for this group of alcoholics and now, you know, compulsive overeaters. That he just knew that he was powerless because he wasn't God. And that's such a blessing. And I love that, you know, that he says here that it's required to follow a few simple rules. The only effort necessary, just follow these few simple rules. And we're such complicated people at times, and we're all going through the yes buts at times, you know. Yes, but have you ever dealt with this? Yes, but, you know. And this is just follow these directions. Use these steps. Connect with others. Give back what you've been given. You know, share the message. You know, are you desperate enough to go to any lengths? Reach out to others. Be of service. You know, pick up the phone instead of the food. You know, these are all these things that I just, you know, please God, every day I get to do. And, you know, I'm going through my own lots of challenges over here. And it's okay, because God's in charge, and I get to do this we. You know, wellness begins with we, illness begins with I. I have a choice today to be well or to be in the illness, God forbid. So I'm just very grateful. You have no idea how much you all mean to me, and how much I'm so grateful for these Vision for You calls and for the members. God bless everybody in your recovery. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Robin P. Okay, opening up for some more names. Who else would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Beatrice O.
Patty T.
Beatrice O. Patty T.
Mags C.
Is that Mags C? Okay, anyone else?
Cindy D.
Cindy D.
Marissa E.
Marissa E. Anyone else want to jump in? Okay, we'll start with those. Beatrice O, Patty T, I think it was Mag C, Cindy D, and Marissa E. Go ahead, Beatrice O.
Okay, this is Beatrice. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
So what I think about this paragraph is, so here's the number one doctor at the time for alcoholics, and he says that, you know, no human power can, that he feels that something more than a human power is needed. to produce that psychic change. So basically he's saying, you know, I can't do it. God can. God needs to. And I've been going to this eating disorders group at with the medical plan I have, and we meet every Monday, and the room is full of food addicts and you know, compulsive overeaters. And this group is trying to use dialectical behavior training and cognitive behavior training. And I'm on my second tour through the group. And when I was eating, there was no way I'm going to do anything this woman says. I couldn't implement any changes. And I've had that psychic change. I'm in the group. I'm abstinent. And I'm finally doing the homework that they ask us to do to, you know, change my behavior. And, you know, I had to get the alcoholic foods out of my plan, food plan. I had to get abstinent. Otherwise, that psychic change wasn't going to happen. It just wasn't going to happen. I think I just needed to surrender and know that there's no way. And I actually had to believe that I was allergic to these substances, and I truly, truly have a disease. And it took 40 years to come to that point. And I'm talking 40 years in OA of doing every, you know, doing it every which way that I thought. But I don't think I ever surrendered. I don't think I ever really believed. And that's why I kept going back to the food. Anyway, so I'm really grateful. Thank you.
And thank you, Beatrice O. Patty T., you're up next, followed by Mag C.
Hi, this is Patty T. from Southern California. Raining violets here today. Hello, everybody. I am recovered by the grace of God. You know what? It just struck me as I was listening to the shares that this was Dr. Silkworth's first step. He did step one right here. You know, when he said, if a doctor is honest with himself, he must sometimes feel his own inadequacy, his powerlessness. And then there was step two, something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. He did one and two right there. And it's so powerful. I don't know, it just strikes me that this is the reason he was able to take, you know, to take an opportunity to speak out on behalf of these original, you know, members, you know, and this organization, because he was so open. He was open-minded. And we hear all the time that, you know, we have to be, you know, honest, open-minded, and willing. How do we do this? We're honest, we're open-minded, and we're willing to do the work. And I don't know, you know, I'm just so thrilled. I hear so much recovery on this line, and it just inspires me every day. And I just want to thank you all. That's it for me. Thanks. I'll pass.
And thank you, Patty T. Okay, Mag C., you're up next, followed by Cindy D.
Hi, this is Mag C. in Denver, Colorado, grateful, recovering compulsive overeater. And I'm extremely grateful for the 12 steps of this program of action that causes this psychic change. Dr. Silkworth's humility and his admission of powerlessness, this something more than human power is needed to produce the essential psychic change. And as a retired doctor, I mean, how many of us, my colleagues, separate church and state, mind and body, especially, I mean, really, mind and body have only come together in the past like 20 years in basic, you know, modern day medicine. And it's something that we're finally starting to address. But, you know, I've had people come to me and beg me, where is the pill? Where is the magic button? What can I do? Just desperate. And I'm just as sick as everybody else. And so it was exhausting meeting or trying to be right and trying to help people. And what a relief that I have wonderful colleagues in this world, hopefully myself included, that had enough humility, a decrease of ego, to admit our powerlessness over this disease. Yeah, you can give somebody a diet. We know that doesn't work. And because I have been a food addict since I was very young, rolling a stick of butter and sugar and just eating it, about 4 or 5 years old. And sorry about that. And so really seeking this humility, recognizing the need for reliance on a power greater than myself when I had tried all my life to be the number one person in command, not just for myself, but for other people. I mean, oh my God, it's exhausting. And so now that I'm in retirement and I know that everything, all my knowledge, all my self-reliance, all of my experience couldn't even help myself. You know, this is just an incredible program. I hope more people, especially in my profession, find it and maybe even go through it for themselves. Half of us are obsessed anyway. And compulsive anyway. But if someone is willing to do these steps and find that essential psychic change, and I'm an agnostic, and so I really have to have my claws into the program, because this human spirit, this group spirit, is what keeps a higher power in my life. And that's all I've got. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Meg C. So, Cindy D., you're up next, followed by Marissa E.
Good morning. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. And, you know, I can remember having this conversation with the doctor, you know, saying, I can't go on. I need help, and you must help me. And what came to me today when I was listening to the shares is that on some level, I knew I couldn't do it alone. But I kept looking everywhere in the medical community, in the commercial community, for a solution. And I remember having a conversation with a doctor after I'd been in the hospital for a number of weeks because of complications from this disease, and asking him what I needed to do different. And he said, nothing. And I remember feeling, you know, so hopeless when I heard that. But now I look at it and I see almost an admission on his part of what Dr. Silkworth is talking about here, that he didn't know either what I should do differently. And I know now the first part was to get my butt into OA and start working the steps. And I have experienced that psychic change that the steps promises us. And it's through, you know, a power that's outside of me. A power that's reached in and is changing me, you know, mind, body, spirit, and soul. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful that Dr. Silkworth was humble enough to share this with, you know, with all of us for our recovery and with the medical community. And I, too, like other sharers, wish more doctors would know about this. And I recently talked to my personal physician, new physician, about this and shared information with her, and she was actually quite open. So I was grateful for that as well. But anybody that's new, keep coming back, because if you put in the work, the promises will come true. You will experience this psychic change, and you can live in a recovered state. I'm a miracle to show that that's true. So with that, Kathleen, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me do service.
And thank you, Cindy D. So Marissa E., you're up next. And after Marissa, I can take a couple more names. So if you'd like to share, be ready for that. And go ahead, Marissa.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in rainy Los Angeles. I just wanted to comment on this, you know, men have cried out. And I remember I was listening to people share and I just had this flash memory, you know, of me crying out to a doctor in sincere and despairing appeal, right? I cannot go on like this. And I remember in 2008, it was 1 year before I came to OA and it was new year, new me. And I was going to lose a bunch of weight and I did. I lost about like 25 pounds, I want to say, in 2 months. And I lost my period and I was as or maybe more depressed than I was when I was fat. And I remember like I knew something was wrong with me, but I couldn't tell anybody. I remember I went to the doctor like, oh, I'm concerned because I lost my period. And they ran some tests and you know, they were like, oh, well, you know, it seems like you exercise a lot. Check. You eat really healthy. On paper, right? They didn't know what I was doing on the weekends, Thursday through Sunday, and then how I was starving myself Monday through Thursday, midday. And so, yeah, so nothing is organically wrong. And I just remember I just fell apart in her office and this poor doctor, she must have been like, nothing's wrong. But I couldn't say it. I could not say that I'm a compulsive overeater. I am powerless over food. My life is unmanageable. I couldn't say that to someone. And I needed and I wanted someone to say that for me. Right? But that couldn't happen. That's not what gets us recovery. It was when 4 months ago, right, being in OA for 10 years, and me pleading in sincere and despair to another recovered compulsive overeater, I cannot go on like this. I have everything to live for. I must stop, but cannot. You must help me. And she said, okay, right? Let's put down the food. Let's pick up these steps. You're a woman with, you know, the desperation of a drowning woman, and let's go. Let's do this. And, right, it was that got me that essential psychic change. Unfortunately, it wasn't that doctor 10 years ago. It wasn't my therapist who told me about OA 10 years ago. And it wasn't even working the program half measures, right? It was that entire abstinence to get that entire psychic change. And I'm just so, so grateful, right, that Dr. Silkworth acknowledged this. And then we could start this amazing fellowship. With that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Marissa E. Okay, we have time for a few more shares. Who else would like to jump in and share on these two paragraphs?
Jason S.
Jason S.
Leia S.
Leia S.
Sandy D.
Okay, let's stop there and we'll see if we can get all three of you in. Okay, Jason S., go ahead.
Hey, good morning. My name's Jason S. I'm a grateful, recovered compulsive overeater from Alberta, Canada. Yeah, I was just thinking about when I was listening to everybody else share about when I went to see the doctor when I was starting to have some health problems. When I was quite overweight, I had been diagnosed with fatty liver disease and I went and seen a doctor and I was having these pains and you know, I was in the food really bad and, you know, and I remember him suggesting to me to get bariatric surgery. And so I guess what came to mind was just the fact that, you know, like they're talking about the inadequacy, their own inadequacy, you know, sometimes, you know, I look back at it now and it's like, you know, the doctor didn't really know what really was going on. And I guess they don't they don't know the psychological part of it, or maybe aren't acknowledging that part of it, or, you know, all those old, it was an older doctor, and I guess they just may have that thought in their mind that it's just weak will or whatever, you know, or, but I know today now, like after having, worked the steps and, you know, been in the program for a little bit now that, you know, just thank God that I found this and, you know, cause it was super hard when he first came in to just try and, go on my own willpower alone, just try and get out of the food and, you know, I tried working the steps and doing some stuff prior to that, but it didn't really take effect until I, like, you know, completely surrendered and, you know, just talking about, you know, ego deflation and stuff, right? You know, getting out of God's way for me is that it's that ego deflation and not thinking that whatever conception I might have in my own mind is going to work. I just have to abandon that completely. And, you know, I didn't understand that until I started doing the steps. And, and then I would, you know, and then after doing that, I was, you know, I didn't obsess about the food anymore. And I, you know, thank God for that. So, that's about all I have to share. And, thanks.
And thank you, Jason S. Okay, I have Leah S. and Sandy D. And Leah and Sandy, if you want to, I think we have time for about 2 minutes for each of you, if you could do that. So go ahead, Leah.
Thank you so much. I'll try. Okay, so, previous share, that's step right, one right there and there, because there were so many times when I used to say, oh, my God, how am I going to do this? I don't want to be in this body. I don't want to be this way. I just want to block out, and I don't want to know of anything. And I just, you know, and those times I would think, and in my thoughts I would say, you know what, if something or someone would come along, I would do anything. And I was so fortunate that someone did tell me about a vision. And I started in my mind having these positive thoughts, because that's all that I got from these meetings. So these meetings helped me. They with some of them I identified, with some of them I did not identify. But one thing I came out from is that we're all in this together, and we can't do it alone. There's got to be some power out there that is going to help me. And just that thought alone made me feel so good. And it started that psychic change. And with that, I will pass.
And thank you, Leah S. So, Sandy D., you have about 2 minutes.
Okay, thanks. This is Sandy D. from Central Illinois, recovered and also a compulsive overeater. I just had to share on this, and it's also about the step one. I totally believe with this paragraph that Dr. Silkworth modeled to us a good example. And I've heard it said before in program that the only step that we need to do perfectly is step one, to admit our powerlessness. And right now I have over 500 days of abstinence, and I can't even believe it. It is just a pure miracle. And I had to share this morning because I'm just so very grateful. I mean, I have never, ever even been able to put 2 days together. And it's just like I finally found someone, a sponsor through this program, and who the problem had been solved. And she gave me direction on what I needed to do. And did I have yes buts at the time? Yes, but I'm going through a divorce. Yes, but this. Yes, but that. But I put those aside. And I really got to the bottom of, man, I'm desperate. You must help me. And that's all I've got. Thanks a lot. Bye.
And thank you, Sandy D. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. Great shares. A special thanks to our readers, Ellen D., Reggie O., Donna W., Leslie W., and Gina R. And we are now, we'll now close the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Lisa W., if you would read a vision for you, please.
Hey, thanks for your service. This is Leslie W. from Tennessee. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.